There's a promise in the Bible, God's precious holy word, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And today I claim that promise, trusting Him for peace of mind. He's the God that through the ages has stood the test of time.
What a blessed assurance to know I'm His and He's mine. What a sweet consolation when He tells me I'm His child. How could I ever doubt it? Mountains get too hard to climb. He's the God of all mountains. He stood the test of time.
This world's fierce raging battle, I will trust Him more and more. I dare not take one step without Him till this fleeting life is o'er. For the hand that holds tomorrow, that same hand is placed in mine. Praise His name throughout the ages, God stood the test of time.
What a blessed assurance to know I'm His and He's mine. What a sweet consolation when He tells me I'm His child. How could I ever doubt it? The mountains get too hard to climb. He's the God of all mountains who stood the test of time. What a blessed
Corinthians chapter number 10. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians 10, I will say this, you did make Gracie's day doing Jubilee. She wanted that this morning, and she is singing it this evening, Jubilee, Jubilee, Jubilee. So I sort of got some connections there, and I sent Daddy a message. I said, hey, how about throwing in that Jubilee? So done that on the first one. She loves it, and so that's one of her favorites. She's got all kinds of songs she sings, and she's hung up on I Can Go In right now. Boy, that's a good one too. She even get to the point where she'll throw her hands up, woohoo, praise the Lord, that's good. And I tell you what, it do us good to not be so dried up, amen. And boy, God's been good to us, ain't He? And He has stood the test of time. The only reason I'm here tonight is because of Him. And several reasons. I'm alive because of Him. I'm saved because of Him. I'm preaching because of Him. Everything that I do is because of Him. He is sustained my life and allowed our paths to cross here. And I'm thankful. We do welcome our Facebook and live stream folks as well, and those who are still listening by way of the telephone. I would make mention of this. If you do know somebody elderly that is not capable of getting internet or may not have that capability, if they've got a phone, then you just let Brother Al and them know. They'll get you hooked up. And there's several that use that, and it's a great tool, great ministry. And I know there's still several still getting a lot of the CDs. So if you know somebody benefit from that, Brother Josh, he makes a ton of them all the time. And Sister Donna, I may leave somebody out, but I'm telling you, they do a tremendous job back there in the Santa Room, vital part of what we do. And a lot of that we'll never hear, get the results on, Brother Kevin. We'll never hear the results. You'll never hear the results of the track ministry, the tracks that you put out. And you may not ever hear that on this side, but I'm believing we're laying up treasures on the other side. So we just got to be faithful to sow those seed. And I'll let God give the increase. But tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Tonight will probably be sort of a topical, pointed message. And I don't know, this is sort of what's been on my heart. And I don't like just pulling out one verse. Most time you've been around me, I'll try to go through and I'll try to give a lot of context to the Scripture. But tonight I'm going to pull out one verse here from the Word of God. It's got a great truth to it that I believe somebody, may just be me, but all of us need to be reminded of this, whether you've been saved a little while or a long while. I believe it's something that'll help us in our Christian life and Christian walk. We better be able to apply it to our heart and life. I'm not going to ask you to stand. Very, very short verse that you're familiar with, and once I start reading it, you'll recognize it right off. But the Bible said this, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Now, I didn't count how many words that was, but it's not much at all. But what a powerful, tremendous truth that we as believers better get a hold of. I want to read it again. Verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 10. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Now let's pray. Father, as we bow God in your presence, Lord, again tonight, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, that you have stood the test of time. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the plan of salvation. I thank you for your word. God, would you help this feeble preacher now tonight to decrease that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Help us, Lord, in our walk with you. I pray if there's one listening unsaved that tonight might be the night of salvation. But I pray, Lord, for the child of God may need some help in their Christian walk. I pray that they'd get it tonight. We'll give you thanks. We'll give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. All God's people see him. Amen. Well, tonight, if I could preach on just a real, real simple thought, again, a topic-pointed message. When you think about this verse, it said, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." There is something about pride that you've got to guard yourself against. There's something about being conceited you've got to guard yourself against. But if I could preach tonight on a simple thought or a statement, I'm going to give you two or three passages of Scripture that we're going to turn to. I want to preach on the subject of the danger of being overconfident. The danger of being overconfident. A lot of times we put way too much emphasis on our ability and on our flesh. And listen, thank God we've been blessed here at Faith Community Baptist Church. We got a ton of talent. We got a ton of ability with a lot of different folks. But do realize this, our ability and our talents and the things that we've been given, they are limited. But I'm glad we can tap into a resource where there's an unlimited supply in the power of the Lord. And listen, we rely on folks that's got great abilities and talents here at the church, and those that do a lot of the jobs here around the church, some that sing, do other things, working with kids, that's ability. But what we've got to guard against is this. We've got to guard against the thought that we don't need to be overconfident in our talent. We need to be thankful for our talent. We need to be thankful for the ability that God has given to us. But we got to remember where our source of strength comes from. And it comes from the Lord. I would say this tonight. We must never think we are immune to sin or to the point where we cannot improve as believers. We should never, and I use that illustration of being a pinnacle. You never get to the point in your life down here where you've reached a pinnacle where you can't move any closer to the Lord, because we're all a work in progress. But if you've been saved 20 years, you cannot let your guard down. If you've been saved 6 months, you can't let your guard down. If you've been saved 40 years, you never get to the point in life where you can say, "All right, I'm just going to take my ease and drink, eat, and be merry," and all that stuff. No, you got to keep that guard up, because there's a real devil that we deal with, and the influences in this world, so many things will lead us astray. And I think about what Jesus said in John 15:5, one of the I am statements. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. What I've gathered is this, Brother Danny. I bet some folks that thought they could do it on their own. And you know what they did? This verse come right up front and center. They fell flat on their face because they relied on the arm of the flesh. Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told him, he said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." He said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We've got strength from another world with the Spirit of God living inside of us, but this old flesh ain't saved, man, and it is weak, and we've got to understand we should never get to the point where we say, man, I'm standing tall, because you better take heed lest you fall. There is the danger of being overconfident. Or there's some examples in the Bible. There's numerous examples in the Bible of that. We're going to look at a few of them. We're going to Joshua 7. Then we're going to Judges 16. Then we're going to Luke 22. Just going to give you just a few verses. And again, you can look at, go back and look at it if you want to turn, great. If you don't, then you go back and you look at this text. Joshua 7. Again, the danger of being overconfident. And boy, we live in a world where it seems like we try to tell folks, oh, be confident, have self-esteem. There's good qualities. You ought to have some self-esteem. You ought to have some confidence in the Lord, but you better not put too much confidence in yourself. There's a lot of folks who make this statement, and I've said it before too, but I say that, and I wish I hadn't, but I have. Somebody does something, Brother Tony, and we'll make this statement out, or Brother Travis, you ain't Brother Travis, you're Brother John. Boy, Brother Travis, get me. Y'all had about the same color shirt on this morning. Brother Travis got a little, boy, he ain't here tonight, is he? Boy, if he's watching this tonight, we're going to be in trouble, ain't we? Boy, I done lost my train of thought, brother. I don't even know where I was going. Oh, Lord. You ever get sideways? I got sideways right there. But you know, there's a lot of folks that'll make this, here's where I was going. We'll make this statement. Somebody'll do something, and we'll make this statement. I'd never do that. I wouldn't never do that. You better be careful making that statement, because you might be doing the same thing tomorrow. You might be doing the same next week. Be careful with saying, I wouldn't never do this, because you don't realize what this flesh is capable of when you're not submitted unto the Lord. But a lot of folks get overconfident, and they say, oh man, I've arrived, I've reached that pinnacle, I don't need God's help, and they fall flat on their face. There is the danger of being overconfident. Joshua, one of the greatest leaders that is found in the Bible. Of course, he was the one that God chose to go to lead the people of Israel over into the promised land. Him and Caleb. And Caleb, of course, he wholly followed the Lord, which is a good quality, a good attribute to have as a child of God. That's what he did. But Joshua, when he went in, we know that he relied on the Lord when they went in. That first victory that they had was at Jericho. We've talked about this the last couple weeks, and certainly when we were down at the Winter Challenge, I preached about Achan. And you think about Joshua, they had that great victory there at Jericho. And then it's almost just a short period thereafter, they were confronted with a little town called Ai. And listen to what the Bible said in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, basically what that is this. When the people of God had over, and God gave them that victory at Jericho, the walls fell down flat, and we see that God was the one that provided that power on that day. And when you look at that, God had told them that they were to take no spoils whatsoever. All that belonged unto the Lord as a first fruit. They weren't to take a thing. Well, Achan took it, and we know the end of the story because he took that. We know that's, they were seeing in the camp, and it prevented Israel from having the victory. But I think it runs deeper than that one. Another reason why they lost there at Ai, as we read on in verse number 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Now keep in mind, the people of God have just witnessed that great victory at Jericho. So these men go up and they spy out Ai, and they're thinking, man, you know, we just seen what God did at Jericho, and they looked at Ai, and they said, they just be a few. So they come back and give this account unto Joshua. Well, the Bible said in verse number 4, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. If you read verse number 5, 35 of those men died as a result of them going up. But they made a critical error. They thought that, man, we've been given a great victory at Jericho. They thought this ain't going to be nothing. And I believe they relied, they had overconfidence in themselves, and they got their eyes off the Lord.
You go on a little bit further in Joshua chapter number 8. You say, how many was in Ai? Well, the Bible tells us. You go on to chapter number 8, verse number 25. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. So basically what they did, they sent 3,000 up against 12,000. And they got whooped. They were overconfident. They made a mistake. God had given them a great victory. And I've often said this, and you notice it is true. The most vulnerable will be as a child of God is right after a great victory. Right after a great victory, we're most vulnerable. There's numerous examples of that in the Bible. Here it is, front and center. You say, well, there was sin in the camp. That's why they lost the battle. That's right. But they were overconfident in thinking that they could just go in on their own strength and their own ability with a small number and win. They could have if they had relied on the Lord, and later on, they did. But Joshua, no doubt, and those people that went up and spied, they were overconfident, and they lost the battle because of overconfidence. How many times will you and I lose the battle against sin because of overconfidence? Oh, I would never do that. Again, you better be careful, because again, you don't know what you have at the power of your hands. Flip over to Judges 16. There's another fellow here, of course, by the name of Samson. Samson was a tool that God used, and he was one of the deliverers that God raised up when those heathen nations would come in. The Philistines were in power during those days, and God used Samson numerous times. He even turned a jawbone of an ass into a weapon of mass destruction, and 1,000 men were killed as a result of that one man. And he relied on God in that strength. But understand, his downfall was when he went down to Gaza. And he went down more ways than geographically. He went down spiritually. And boy, I tell you what, fellas, ladies and gentlemen here today that are unmarried, you better date right. You most certainly better marry right. Because we see Samson, his downfall was due to his choice of a woman. We know that Delilah, listen to this, in Judges 16, in verse number 19, the Bible said, and she, that being Delilah, made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He just thought he could do anything he wanted to without obeying God. God was the one that had gave him his strength. He was the one that gave him his power. But it was based on his obedience unto the word of God. But when he had those locks shaven off, he lost his power and didn't even realize it. He said, I'm going to go out at other times and shake myself. And, of course, he fell before the Philistines. And I tell you, there's consequences to sin. Hey, you know, notice the next verse number 21. But the Philistines took him, that's Samson, and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Here was a man that lost his sight. He lost his power. He lost his freedom because he was overconfident. He didn't rely on the Lord. The Lord was the one that gave him his strength. Numerous other examples you'll find in the Bible of overconfidence. But go with me to Luke 22. We see that Joshua, he lost the battle. I believe he was overconfident. Samson, he lost a lot of things, getting power, his sight, his freedom. He lost all that, eventually losing his life, I believe, early. He could have lived a lot longer if he had lived for the Lord. You know, there's a lot of folks leave out here prematurely, by the way. Did you know that? A lot of folks do. The Bible even said there's a sin unto death. 1 John lets us know that in chapter number 5. There's a sin unto death. There's a lot of folks that prematurely leave out of here because of the choices that they make, and understand, we've got to realize that we've got to tap into God's power. Don't get too overconfident, but a lot of folks do. A lot of folks think, well, I'm immune to sin. I've been saved a long time. Listen, we'll never get to that point. But we think about Peter. Peter, one of my heroes in the Scripture. I mean, he was hot-headed, and he had a little bit of anger. He said he had some anger issues. They had anger management classes. Brother Kevin, he had been one that had to show up at one of those classes. He got mad real quick. Of course, he was the one that cut off the ear of the servant's high priest by the name of Malchus in the Word of God. And we see that. But in Luke 22, listen to this. Now, listen, this is Peter. He's one of the ones that certainly He walked on the water. We can criticize him all we want to. He had enough faith to walk on the water until he got his eyes off Jesus and got his eyes on the wind and the waves. He pinned down some of the Word of God. Of course, he's the one that preached the message on the day of Pentecost at Acts chapter number 2, and 3,000 were saved. We see God used him mightily, but he had an issue. He had an overconfident issue, and it caused him some problems. Notice what the Bible said in Luke 22 and verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. When the Lord says your name twice, you better look out. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So the Lord Jesus gives him a warning. Peter, I want you to know, now, at this particular time, Peter's already walked on the water. He's been with the Lord Jesus Christ during Jesus' public ministry. He's witnessed, no doubt, healings, and he's witnessed the power of God, the feeding of the 5,000. He's seen all of that and witnessed that. Imagine what kind of plateau he's sitting on, and the Lord Jesus said, hey, Peter, just want you to know, this comes as a warning. I'm telling you, you better look out, because Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But notice what the Lord said in verse 32, but I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus knew that he was not going to heed that warning. Why? He knew he was going to be overconfident. Notice the very next verse in verse number 33. And he, that he is none other than Peter. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. What he's basically saying is, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never do that. I'll go with you all the way. I know Satan may be after me, but you ain't got to worry about me falling. Why don't you go talk to Judas? Why don't you go talk to Bartholomew? Why don't you go talk to Philip? Hey, I don't need you. Just go talk to John. Go talk to James. You know who you talk to, Jesus? Jesus said, yeah, I know who I'm talking to. That's why I said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus knew that he would fall. But Peter had this overconfidence about him. He said, man, I'm ready to go with you to death. Well, notice what Jesus goes on to say. Verse number 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You know what happened with Peter, Brother Danny? It went in one ear and out the other. Never even thought about it until after he denied the Lord three times. And he heard that cock crow. When he did, he made eye contact with Jesus. And the Bible said he went out and he wept bitterly. He sure did. He was sorry for his sin. But he should have been looking out. Now, if Peter could fall, I can tell you right now, Brian can fall. You can fall. There's the overconfidence, the danger of it that's laid out in the Word of God. And I have no idea what you're dealing with, what kind of issue you're facing today. Don't know how long you've been saved. Above all, if you're not saved, that's your greatest need, to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Yes, he died for you. Yes, he loves you. He wants to forgive you. But it'll be up to you. But once we get saved, we can never, never, never get to the point where, I'm immune to sin now. I'm above improving. I've reached that plateau. I'd say this, if somebody even had that mentality, they're so far away from God. Everybody hearing me now? You're a long ways from God. Because when it comes to confidence, we don't need to have confidence in ourselves and in our ability. Oh, yes, we do. Got to have confidence in the Lord. Jesus said, John 15:5, without me ye can do nothing. And we've got to realize that. Think about the technology we have. Think about the resources that we have. But you know, years ago, the power of God was and I've read accounts of it and studied a lot of the revivals that came here in America. They didn't have the technology that we have. They didn't have padded pews. They didn't have heating and air conditioning. They didn't have the lighting that we have. And certainly they'd have those old potbelly stoves sitting in the middle. But the power of God was in that place. And people come and they were hungry. They were looking for God to do something. Now we want to come a lot of times and, let's be honest, just be comfortable. As long as I'm comfortable, we're good. I tell you what, it'd be good if God would get us uncomfortable. Amen. And let us realize that we need to rely on Him. And listen, I'm not minimizing that. We'd be foolish not to use the technology we got. We'd be foolish not to make it a comfortable environment to come in and worship. But we don't need to rely on that. We don't need to rely on our strength and our ability, our talent, and all the things that God's blessed us here with. It'll never take the place of the power of God in our heart and in our lives. And God sent me by, and it may just been to remind me, to remind somebody else maybe, that there is the danger of being overconfident. Listen, you'll never be too overconfident in the Lord, because God can do anything. There's nothing impossible with Him. Thank God He can save to the uttermost. He can still perform miracles, still change lives. He can put homes back together. Thank God He can put broken lives back together. He's still capable of doing that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us, our ability, our talent. We better make sure and not be overconfident, because the Bible said this, the Savannah comes. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. As we stand all over the house tonight.
Hello friends, this is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service. And every second Sunday night of each month, we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16 it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51:17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.